spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the Studio Gym, where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a great show planned for you today. During the first hour, we're going to be joined by John Durant to talk about his new book, The Paleo Manifesto, Ancient Wisdom for Lifelong Health. And then also from the paleo community, during the second hour, Greg Everett's going to join us about his movie, Weightlifting. American Weightlifting. It's a documentary. It's a fantastic documentary. We're going to talk about that later. But let's get started welcoming John Durant to the show. How you doing, John?
I'm good, Carl. How are you?
Good. And I had the pleasure of meeting John at the Ancestral Health Symposium this year in Atlanta. And John is a native New Yorker like myself, but I'm transplanted thanks to the Witness Protection Program to Kentucky now.
And I'm native Detroit, but I live in New York.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. There you go. Representing Detroit as well.
Yeah,
we have a lot
represent.
Of listeners. Yeah. And you know, I sat in on your discussion, a group of you talking about of all things, you know, ancestral ways that we're talking about hunters and gatherers and actually hunting. And this is a great book. I read this book. It's a fantastic book. I'm telling everybody right now that this is a must-have book if you are into ancestral health and paleo nutrition, because this book strings together everything else that's out there in a seamless end-to-end fashion that makes sense, but also tells you how to take action with this information, which I think this has been sorely needed in this context, and appropriately called a manifesto. But interestingly enough, the story that you told at Ancestral Health Symposium, which is also in the book, in one of the chapters in the book, about your experience of taking on hunting, I think you should tell that story for the audience, because I think they'll get a kick out of it.
Well, I'm like a lot of folks these days who didn't grow up hunting. Fewer and fewer people are. And I just wanted to get back in touch with my food again. Now, lots of other writers, from Michael Pollan and other people, have written about going hunting for the first time. And you have to learn it informally, usually from other men in your family.
Right.
It's usually uncles, fathers, grandfathers. And so I sort of had a surrogate group of uncles who took me under their wing and went hunting on opening day in Michigan. We were set up on the side of a soybean field, actually. So the deer were also eating soy, which I usually don't eat, but I'm not complaining here.
Right.
And I ended up shooting. There's no. I'm swallowing my ego here. I ended up shooting a male yearling, so Bambi, essentially.
Right.
right. But then I used that as an opportunity to explore how really a skilled human hunter is the most humane way for a deer to die, and all the different ethical and environmental reasons that hunting is actually a very important activity.
Yeah. And now from what you just said, it's an important discussion to have, and I want to segue. Because, so the deer was eating soy. And in the earlier chapter of your book, Know Thy Species, you tell a story, and it actually caught me by surprise, even though we've talked about these phenomenon on my show. But I don't want to give it away. So talk about Michael for a second. Michael, we're going to call this individual Michael for now.
Well,
and he was overweight. And talk about that for a second.
If you take the standard sort of sick person with heart disease today, it's probably about a 50-year-old man who's a little bit overweight, doesn't pay a lot of attention to how he eats or exercises, is showing initial signs of heart disease, has some bad patterns of cholesterol. And, you know, I am going to give it away a little bit because it's hard to talk about it otherwise. But in the book, I wasn't actually talking about a human named Michael. I was talking about a Western lowland gorilla named Makolo at the Cleveland Metro Park Zoo. And it's striking the parallels between some of the health challenges that are faced by primates in captivity and all animals in captivity and the challenges that we face in civilization. So heart disease is the number one killer. Heart failure and heart disease are the number one killer of male gorillas in captivity. They, with all too much regularity, they go into cardiac arrest and drop dead. And so zoos have been trying to figure out how do you prevent the onset of all these chronic health conditions? And the short answer is mimic their natural habitat and the types of foods that they would typically eat.
Bingo.
Yeah.
You know, the San Diego Zoo is having this problem, right? So I remember reading an article. This is, and we talked about it on the show. Whenever we talk about artificial diets, and an artificial diet meaning that a diet that is really not matched for the being that's eating it. And we see this in animal husbandry today. It's the reason why beef has become dangerous to eat, and, you know, and lectins are in milk because of the corn and the soy and everything that these animals are eating and so on. And so we talk about the San Diego Zoo. They have a huge problem there with multiple animal species developing chronic diseases seen in human populations in the United States. And they're going, gee, what could it be? Well, maybe it's the Purina, you know, gorilla chow that they're eating. Because they didn't have Purina gorilla chow on the...
They call it monkey chow, but that's not what monkeys actually eat.
Yeah. And so, these large animal vets are starting to go, you know, it's the food, right? And it's like, oh my God, it's the food that's making these animals sick. And if these animals are eating these foods, which, by the way, usually are very high in corn and soy and grain, and they're developing diseases like the human population, could it be that the corn and soy and grain are also causing the diseases in the human populations as well?
So I'm at the Cleveland Zoo, and I'm talking about these ideas with the medical staff there. They let me go behind the scenes for 2 days. It was really awesome. I talk about it in the book. And one of the experiments they tried was to – they had these – essentially this Purina monkey chow mix that they were feeding the gorillas in biscuit form. And they said, well, let's just raise the fiber in the diet. Maybe there's not enough fiber. It was a very reductive way of looking at it. Well, they supplemented with a wheat-based fiber, and the gorillas developed awful, awful diarrhea. And so they suspected that these – particular gorillas had some sort of gluten sensitivity. And so they're telling me this story, after you hear so much about gluten sensitivity and celiac in the paleo world, and now I'm hearing it out of the mouths of the medical staff at the zoo, and my jaw just hit the floor. But, you know, the approach that they take, they don't call it paleo, and it doesn't really matter
what they call
it. In the end of the day.
Right.
They just call it smart. They call you combine the best of modern medical technology, and then you use nature as a starting point. And you go back and forth between the two, and you take the best of the old with the best of the new.
And that's an important distinction, too, by the way. You know, we're not saying, hey, let's throw away what we know works now. We're saying let's throw away what we've learned doesn't work now and integrate it with what we knew worked before. But the problem is that we have a very, very short memory, and most of the times we don't even look back at what was working before. We just look at science du jour and go, oh, well, this is what we need to focus on now.
Well, and that's, you're touching on a very deep question, which is, when you don't know what to do, what do you do? What do you do? How do you be healthy if you're not sure how to be healthy? And the approach that's been taken in the zoo world over the last 30, 40 years is, okay, we're never going to have the budget to run perfect studies. And when we do run studies on captive animals, they don't tell us very much because they're all leading fairly similar lives, eating similar foods. And it can be very difficult to compare gorillas in captivity to wild gorillas.
Right.
So when you don't know what to do, your starting point is mimic nature, mimic the wild. You know, what's sort of funny, sometimes I hear critics of paleo, they'll come up with criticisms like, well, don't you know that pretty much all the foods in the grocery store are domesticated, including the vegetables and the animals that many people are eating on a so-called paleo diet, yada, yada, yada. Well, the same when the Cleveland Zoo started feeding more leafy vegetables to the gorillas, they bought all the vegetables at a local Cleveland grocery store. They didn't fly in a bunch of wild plants from Africa.
Right.
Would have been too expensive. It, you know, would have been silly. So you just have to make compromises with reality.
And, you know, that's a discussion I had almost 5 or 6 years ago with Leslie Aiello from the Winogrand Foundation. We were talking about this on the phone, and she says, you know, the reality is that an apple has changed. It's not the apple that our paleo ancestors, you know, we've hybridized apples to be sweeter and deliver the things that we like out of it. And so the notion of trying to eat true paleo is probably not capable. However, striving for that would definitely be better than what we're doing now. And that's really what it comes down to. And to the comment, and we have to go into a break, but I just had a funny thought. Yeah, I love analogies, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this analogy that, oh, well, you know, you think they may be gluten sensitive, you know, the gorillas, and humans are gluten sensitive, and everybody's gluten sensitive. And it's almost like saying, you know what? That guy laying on the floor bleeding from the chest, he died from bullet sensitivity. It's like, you think so? Yeah, I think so. It's like, we're all gluten sensitive. Let's get the message now. Some of us more acutely than others. So many of us can live with the damaging effects that it's doing over time, like a water drop on a rock, but it's no good for anybody. It's no good for anybody. And so, let's get wise now. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick it up with John Durant. I'm telling you, and I mean this sincerely, this is a book that's a must have. If optimal health is your goal, if you're working with individuals and trying to help them be healthy, this book really does put it all together in an end-to-end sequence and gives you prescriptive advice on how to use this information and stuff that we've talked about that isn't even part of the whole paleo agenda is in this book, which is makes it very, very exciting to me. Go to Amazon.com and get the book, The Paleo Manifesto, Ancient Wisdom for Lifelong Health. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Throw away those muscle-building rag mags and listen to real health information you can trust.
So right now what's trending is like resistance exercise, CrossFit. So he's like, well, I'm going to write an article that will make all of those people go, what? There are people out there who are trying to convince themselves that heavy resistance training is not good for you. They want to be substantiated by why they don't go into the gym and do any kind of work. In order for you to get rhabdomyolysis, you have to be an extremely well-trained athlete who pushes your body beyond the point of no return. And even then, you may not get rhabdo.
Only on Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
They couldn't get rhabdo if I said, get rhabdo and I'll give you $1 million.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
A special offer from Rob Regish for Blueprint Power Hour listeners. Purchase 1 year of the Blueprint Bulletin and get the Blueprint 3.0 ebook for free. The first 100 subscribers will receive the Superhuman University Add 1 Inch to Your Upper Arms course and another surprise bonus when you order. Go to the BlueprintBulletin.com today or click the Blueprint banner ad on SuperhumanRadio.com and get on the road to Gainesville in the fast lane. The best fat loss patch just got better. Now the Age Force Fat Burner Patch includes Garcinia Cambogia. Lose body fat even faster. Try it free for 30 days. Go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the Age Force Fat Burner banner ad today. What else do you have to lose except unwanted body fat? Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable, but finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the Superhuman Nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first 6-hour colostrum, painstakingly processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological activity in the world. For a limited time, when you buy Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum lozenges and a Fit and Fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with John Durant about his new book, The Paleo Manifesto. Fantastic book. You can tell I'm excited. I'm excited about this book. This book covers so many of the topics and beliefs that this superhuman nation revolves around that it's just exciting to me. And some of the things we're going to get into later in the interview that are not normally discussed within the paleo / ancestral health community, but are important factors to discuss. I want to talk about fasting for a second, John.
Yep.
I've been talking about fasting, intermittent fasting, every other day fasting since 2008. I've done a lot of interviews with scientists who've come on and talk about the importance of fasting. And we've talked about fasting being one of our evolutionary gifts of metabolic flexibility. But there are people out there who believe that fasting is not a good thing, that any type of fasting is bad. And in fact, they equate fasting to famine. Is this true? Is fasting and famine the same thing, or are they very different?
Well, take a step back from the word fasting and think about eating frequency. What is a normal eating frequency for any given species, for humans, for gorillas, for lions? If you have an herbivore like a gorilla, they are adapted to eating pretty much all day long. If you have a carnivore like a lion, then they might naturally in the wild only eat every 2 to 3, 4 days. So I actually talk about a study that was done at the Topeka Zoo where they shifted the lions from feeding them once a day every day to feeding them roughly once every 2 or 3 days, same amount of food over the course of a week, and a lot of biomarkers improve and they seem healthier and lose some weight. So before we even get into fasting, the question is, what's a normal eating frequency for a human being? And the way that most people eat today, they just graze all day long, snacking and lots of, you know, little meals and eating right before bedtime. We are eating, forget about fasting, we are eating way too frequently relative to what we should be. So some of this fasting isn't doing anything extreme. It's inserting some natural and normal variability into our daily eating patterns.
And I would submit, and I'm not a scientist, and you know, I mean, I look to others to get information, but using my critical thinking skills, I would submit that the fact that things like autophagy or autophagy, however you want to pronounce it, ramp up during fasted periods, the fact that sirtuins ramp up during fasted periods, it's the fact that these things occur at a higher rate during fasting tells me that the body looks forward to fasting from time to time.
Oh, absolutely. Hunger is a natural and normal and should be an unavoidable part of being a healthy human being. Important things happen when you're awake or asleep. important things happen when you're eaten and you're satisfied, and when you're hungry. Important things happen when you're hot and when you're cold. We need that variability. The body is adapted to that variability. I don't know if you've read any Nassim Taleb, who wrote Fooled by Randomness.
I met him. He's fantastic. He's the guy with the anti-fragile. Yeah, he's going to be on the show, actually. But yeah,
awesome.
I'm familiar with him.
Well, he started to incorporate a lot of variability into how he eats and exercises. But we were on a show together, and we're talking about the importance. It's very counterintuitive to say that variability is healthy for you, or that you can be adapted to variability or variation. That people think, okay, well, you can get adapted or used to eating three meals a day, or to playing with the same teammates on a sports team. But the idea that you can be adapted to variation and variability is a counterintuitive concept that he writes a lot about in his book, and how it can make you stronger.
So, should we follow hunger, or are there eating frequencies that that appear to be better eating frequencies for our species?
Well, so we're omnivores. When you look at different, and so we probably fall in between the herbivore strategy of eating all day long and the carnivore strategy of only eating every few days. When you look at hunter-gatherer tribes, they usually eat every day, but if there's an unsuccessful hunt or they're on the move, not eating for a day isn't considered a big deal. But it's usually not three meals a day at the same time with snacks in between. You see a lot of examples where there are two meals a day. There's lots of variation, but oftentimes the biggest meal follows the conclusion of the day's activities. After your successful hunt, after you've gathered, after you've soaked nuts in a stream, after you've gathered the honey, all these things. So once your day is done, that's oftentimes when you have the bigger meal, which is different than this notion that breakfast is the most important meal of the day. We've flipped it on its head, right? It used to be the most important meal was after you did your day's work, and now it's before.
Well, and that's because of industrialization. That's a whole other discussion. But interestingly
right.
enough, I had Dr. Malin Watfi on the show many months ago. He authored a book called Of Doves, Diplomats, and Diabetes. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's a Darwinian perspective of diabetes. And one of the things that we all learned from that interview, the entire audience, including myself, was that there are chemicals in the brain that stimulate hunger and chemicals in the brain that stimulate fear. And only when the chemicals in the brain that stimulate hunger overpower the chemicals in the brain that stimulate fear, are we ready, biologically ready to eat? Because then we are, okay, I know I'm going to go out and I run the risk of becoming saber-toothed tiger food, but I am so hungry, I have no choice. I have to go eat now. And then the energy that we expend overcoming fear actually creates an environment in the body to handle nutrition a certain way. So I latched onto this idea. So then I started experimenting with something where I would fast. I'd stop eating around 6-7 o'clock at night, and I'd be 16 hours fasted before my workout in the morning. And I trained very hard and very heavy. And then after my meal, after my workout, I would have my largest meal. And sometimes it was upwards of 2,500 calories.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got a lot of back flack from people saying things like, oh, you're taxing the liver. You can't use that much protein. But I, again, looking to critical thinking, I said, look, when one of our ancestors was starving, hungry, okay, and then took the time to chase down, kill an animal, they didn't go, okay, I'm going to eat a portion-controlled meal now, and I'm going to come back at 3 o'clock. They ate past satiety because they didn't know when they were going to eat again.
That's right. They would gorge. There are reports of men eating well over a pound of meat when they make a kill.
And so this notion that, oh, well, you can only use 30 grams of protein per sitting, my attitude is, look, unless I'm pooping solid pieces of meat, it's getting digested and something's happening to it, right? So that's all I look to. It's like, I don't want to hear about the 30-gram theory. And so I used that protocol, and I have to tell you, I became more muscular, stronger, and continued to get leaner at the same time, even though I was having this gargantuan meal, but because it followed exhaustive workout on a fasted system.
Well, now let me give you two examples where fasting might be considered famine and might be a bad idea, and okay. another area where it might be considered healthy.
Okay.
So one area is if you are a woman who is trying to get pregnant or who is pregnant, then women's bodies are very sensitive, particularly when it comes to offspring and reproduction, are very sensitive to food intake. And so a woman who is going long periods of time on a regular basis not eating, it may signal to her body that resources are scarce,
right.
and so it's a bad time to get pregnant. So I do think that's a case where the famine signal or the low resources signal may be important and it's worth paying attention to. But here's another example where we see all throughout the animal kingdom that fasting in essence is good for you. Appetite loss during illness.
Right.
You look at any wild animal, any farm animal, pets, and if they have a serious injury and are infected, then they lose their appetite and they just stop eating. I'm sure people have had dogs that have stopped eating for a couple days or things like that. Well, this widespread behavior is adaptive. It's not like the body is just breaking in dogs and horses and cattle and lions and gorillas and humans. No, it's adaptive. It has an evolutionary function. It's helping the body fight off the infection by cutting off the supply lines.
Is it that, or is it also redirecting resources to the healing process? Because digestion takes one of the largest tolls on energy that the body has.
Well, it could be a bit of both. What I do know is that, for example, because these pathogens rely on our nutrition and basically on the nutrients in our bloodstream for their own nutrition, when we manipulate how we eat, it manipulates their resources. Mm-hmm. So one of the benefits of fasting that a lot of people find is, oh, my teeth, you know, my gums feel really good. Well, you stop putting a bunch of carbohydrate into your mouth and the bacteria that feed on it, you know, die.
Mm.
Or skin improving. Well, that's often because the bacteria on your face is either dies or, you know, changes composition. So there are clearly ways here that, you know, cutting off, it's like cutting off the supply lines behind an invading army.
And you know, it's funny. So when I was a kid in high school, I worked on the racetrack, and one of the earliest signs that there was a problem with a horse, and we used to say he's off his feed. You'd put a tub of feed in, and the horse would sniff it and turn his butt on it and not eat. So you'd go and tell the trainer, look, he's off his feed, and they'd start checking him out, and sure enough, they'd find out something's wrong with the horse.
Yep.
So it's common, and even Bernard McFadden talked about this. And see, this is another thing. When I say we've lost our instinct, we've lost our natural intellect about our own bodies, and we've lost critical thinking skills. We have to have people tell us, "Oh, feed a cold and starve a fever." No, starve everything. Anytime that you're sick, just stop eating for a little while and watch how fast you get better.
Well, and most people, they do lose their appetite, but then they think, "Oh, well, I've got to ignore that and fight through it and force myself to eat." Well, no, just take a couple days, don't eat,
yeah.
and then if you get an extreme situation, then you talk to some people and change something. But to go 24 hours without eating is really no big deal.
No, absolutely not. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about something that isn't necessarily talked about within the paleo community or the ancestral health community that I think is very important. It's something I practice regularly. We're talking with John Durant. He is the author of the Paleo Manifesto, Ancient Wisdom for Lifelong Health. You can get it at Amazon.com. It's a beautiful book, by the way. Buy it, read it, and then put it on your coffee table so all of the non-inductees in your life sit down and look at it. And it's a pretty book. It'll attract attention. They'll pick it up. They'll read even just a couple pages and come away smarter. Go to Amazon.com and check it out. We'll be right back.
He's Carl Lenore.
The brainless people at the FDA need to be convinced that arsenic is not good for humans to consume. Because the FDA feels a little bit more research needs to be done before we're considered that this particular arsenic is dangerous.
Only on Superhuman Radio.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides. People who want the best whey protein in the world turn to WhayNaturalUSA.com. WhayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from grass pasture-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WhayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. Just pure grass pasture-fed whey in all its natural glory. Go to WhayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WhayNaturalUSA.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
From the people who brought you Aura MD, now get a free bottle of beautiful facial moisturizer for women from Trusted Health Products. No parabens, GMOs, synthetic chemicals, or additives. Just pure live botanical oils that will make your face look and feel younger. Your body looks 25, now make your face look the part. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the 100% pure skincare banner ad today. From the people who brought you Aura MD, now get a bottle of the Man Facial Moisturizer for Men from Trusted Health Products. No parabens, GMOs, synthetic chemicals, or additives. Just pure live botanical oils that will make your face look and feel younger. Your body looks 25, now make your face look the part. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the 100% pure skincare banner ad today. Get a free jug of BCAA Extended Performance. That's a $26 freebie when you buy Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Intense, the safest, most effective pre-workout alternative to DMAA. Intense is designed to quickly boost focused energy in a great-tasting formula free of aspartame or ACE-K. Only half the caffeine of top-selling concentrated pre-workout formulas on the market. Intense delivers unparalleled mental focus and energy to power your workouts. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Intense banner ad and use coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
She's a very kinky girl. The kind you don't.
Welcome back. At the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Greg Everett to talk about American Weightlifting, the movie. Right now, we're talking with John Durant about his book, The Paleo Manifesto. This chapter brought real smile to my face for a couple reasons. Number one, you talk about a place that I spent many summers of my childhood, Coney Island. And you talk about thermoregulation and the importance of some of these practices. One of the things that I do post-workout every single time I train is I sit in a hot sauna of 160 degrees for at least 20 minutes, and then I walk directly to an ice-cold shower. And I call it my ticker test because I feel like if I don't stroke or have a heart attack at that moment, I'm safe for the rest of the day. But it takes me to both the top-end extreme of heat and the low end extreme of cold, and I gasp for air, and I shout and scream, and then it's like it's all over, and I feel fantastic after that, revived. In fact, my eyes become injected with blood. I am all bloodshot eyes after doing this, and I do this 3 or 4 times a week. Talk about thermoregulation.
Well, like many other areas, our lives have become monotonous. Most people lead temperature-controlled existences, going from a comfortable temperature in their bedroom, home, car, office, and right back again. But if you go camping or if you live in the wild, the temperature can change by 30, 40 degrees just over the course of night and day. And we've lost that. So how do we reinsert some of this variability into our daily lives? So the cool thing about cold exposure, there's some neat studies on how long the effects last, and if you do cold water swimming in the ocean or a polar bear plunge or even some cold water in the shower, how long do the effects of that last where you're better adapted to the cold? And they find that it lasts for about a month, which which in many respects is longer than a lot of forms of physical exercise. So even small amounts of cold exposure can help adapt you to the winter and not feel cold. It's also a good way of reducing inflammation after after a workout.
Yes. And, you know, that's funny that you say that. I didn't even realize that that was the case until I read the book. But I commonly walk around with just a T-shirt on right now, like it's very cold out, and I don't notice the cold. And one of the things Elisa says to me all the time is, aren't you cold? And I go, no. And then she'll actually touch my body and go, my God, you're so warm.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I kind of feel like there are other benefits to this as well, both the hot extreme and the cold extreme. But that I didn't even know about that one.
Yeah, well, the when I hear people say, oh, I'm cold, or I'm just a cold person, or I hate the cold, your ability to generate heat and to be warm is like a muscle. So when I hear people say that, it's like someone saying, oh, I can't lift this weight, and I'm so weak, and I just hate lifting weights. Well, you have to work out. You have if you want to be strong and be able to lift the weights, you have to go lift weights. So if you feel cold all the time, you need to go expose yourself to the cold sometimes, and then you'll adapt to it and be stronger.
And see, this is so counterintuitive, right? I mean, it just really is, but it makes perfect sense. And this is an area that we very rarely think about, our evolutionary gifts. But just the way metabolic flexibility is a gift from ancestors who were able to survive long periods of time without food, the ability to not die in the cold obviously was as well.
Sure, absolutely. And so we see in all these different cultures around the world these sauna traditions or sweat bathing traditions along with cold exposure. So the Spartans, when archaeological digs dig up Spartan gymnasia, they find sauna complexes adjoining them. So after the 300 workout, they would go do that. The Romans were, of course, borrowed everything from the Greeks. Aztec and Mesoamerican cultures had what were called temazcal. You see some in Africa, in the Middle East, all over the place.
Israel. I went to Israel on business a couple times many years ago, and I got to visit the mountaintop Masada, which was built by King Herod as a safety enclave, because he was always at risk of being killed. And that is where the Maccabees, where the whole that's where that whole Maccabee thing came from. The Zealots, they barricaded themselves on this mountain, and the Romans had to eventually, it took months and months for them to breach it, and they all committed suicide, by the way. But when we went up there to visit, they had a steam room that was, to my estimations, as good as any modern steam room. It had a double wall. They had clay pots with fires under them that just the steam just acquiesced in. The tile work was impeccable. It was still intact today. And steam baths were a regular something that those individuals understood were beneficial for health. And they got in there all the time. It was amazing. And then there was an ice cold pool outside that they would jump into after coming out of the steam bath.
Yep. Well, and clearly hygiene was one of the benefits. Life used to be very filthy. People didn't know that germs existed, and so you go to the baths for good hygiene.
Mm.
So that's one thing. But the adaptation to cold temperatures, and then there's some interesting suggestions that basically exposing yourself to hot temperatures can help you fight off an illness. Now, this is more speculative, and more studies need to be done on it. But basically, when people get sick, another adaptive response is developing a fever.
Right.
And this higher temperature is part of the body's response to fighting off infection. So you raise the temperature, the internal temperature of the body. It causes microorganisms to replicate more quickly. You do appetite loss to cut off their supply lines, and suddenly all these germs are replicating and have greater demands for resources even as you're cutting off their supply lines, which is how, by the way, anybody who has an aquarium and some fish knows that if you get an infection in the aquarium, you turn up the heat you stop putting in feed in, you turn up the heat, and the microorganisms basically burn themselves out.
So in 2007, I started talking to a UCLA-trained physician who was driven out of the United States named Dr. Robert Gorder. He ended up practicing in Cologne, Germany. But what he observed was that there was numerous individual cases of this scenario. An individual is admitted to a hospital because of a tumor. While in the hospital, they contract an infection.
Yep.
They develop almost life-threatening fever. So now the focus is to keep them alive and get rid of the fever. When they finally would overcome the fever weeks later, they would get back on track for their tumor assessment.
Tumor
and
regression.
The tumor was gone. And
yep.
So, and these tumors were big. It wasn't like, oh, he was misdiagnosed. It was a lymph node that was swollen. These were tumors, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 centimeter, large tumors. So then the people start saying, gee, I wonder what, hyperthermia has to do with these cancers. And Dr. Robert Gorder started to use hyperthermia therapy to rid people of various types of cancers here in the United States. Now, in the beginning, he was using infections, bacteria that caused uncontrolled fevers. And then they went to the focused lamps, I guess, or something like
that. Well, a Nobel Prize was awarded for this in the 1920s. It was a German physician, and he would this is before antibiotics, and one of the biggest problems was syphilis. A lot of folks had syphilis. And he developed a method where he would infect patients with syphilis, he would infect with malaria, because malaria creates a very hot-burning fever, and then they would treat the malaria eventually with quinine. And in about a third of cases, the body would completely clear itself of the syphilitic infection, and he won a Nobel Prize for it.
Which tells you that fever is not a byproduct of illness; it's actually a reparative feature of the body.
That's right.
Dr. Gorder said that during high fevers, one of the most important enzymatic cascades in the body, the cytochrome P450 cascade, turbocharges. I mean, it steps up its game and it starts doing things that it normally doesn't do. When the body is challenged like this, it ramps up because it wants to survive. And ironically, the other thing that I've gotten from a lot of the research I've read in this area, and another reason why I love saunas 3, 4, 5 times a week, a dry sauna, is if the body has a low level threat, it doesn't necessarily take it seriously. We see this
right,
especially in the area of mitochondrial dysfunction. If you cause apoptosis with something, it's gone. But if you don't cause apoptosis, but you just kind of rub it the wrong way long enough, it goes into anaerobic glycolysis, becomes cancer. And so the body, if it has a low-level threat, it kind of ignores it a little bit. It's like, oh, I could take care of that later. I'll
right,
deal with that later. But then when you give it a really big threat, it goes, oh, man, I better take care of this little threat first because I got to go after that big threat now.
Well, and a lot of cancers, to pick up on that, a lot of cancers are caused, or at least partially caused, by infectious agents and chronic infections. And once these chronic infections get lodged in the body, they also suppress the immune system. They release compounds that actively suppress the immune response. So if you get a very strong infection that can finally trigger the immune system to respond strongly enough, clear a lot of these secondary or tertiary infections, some of which may actually be contributing or causing the actual tumor or cancer.
Okay, we're going to take our last commercial break. I've got a couple more questions. We're talking with John Durant. It's a fantastic book, as you can tell. I'm very, very energized about it because we've long needed a book like this that puts all of these concepts, strings them together, and tells you how to use them to reach lifelong health. You know, this notion that we have to end up in an institution for the last third of our lives is a relatively new phenomenon. It didn't happen to people in the 1700s and 1800s. And we're not living longer. That's nonsense. People have been living to 80, 90, and 100 years old forever. If we were living longer, we'd have people living to 140, 150. The real issue is that people are getting sick younger. And one of the ways to avoid that is to read a book like this, The Paleo Manifesto. It's at Amazon.com. Everybody should have it. We'll be right back.
It's interesting what we consider a reason to get angry.
He's a military strategist on health.
Merck, the pharmaceutical company, killed 55,000 people with Vioxx. They knew that it had a problem, and they sold it to people anyway, and 55,000 plus people died taking Vioxx.
He's Carl Lenore.
Why isn't this current administration going, we need to go to White House Station, New Jersey, where the Merck headquarters is, and send the military in there? We need to bomb Merck, because they killed 55,000 Americans knowing that they were going to kill 55,000 Americans.
On Superhuman Radio.
Where is the outrage about that?
Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable. But finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the Superhuman Nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first 6-hour colostrum, painstakingly processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological activity in the world. For a limited time, when you buy Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum lozenges and a Fit and Fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit ironmaglabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultra Male RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at ironmaglabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. H-Force introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order. The best fat loss patch just got better. Now, the H-Force Fat Burner Patch includes Garcinia Cambogia. Lose body fat even faster. Try it free for 30 days. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the H-Force Fat Burner banner ad today. What else do you have to lose except unwanted body fat?
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live-On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking with John Durant. His book is The Paleo Manifesto. It's a fantastic book. It's a book I'll probably read a couple times, to be honest with you, because there's so much good information in it. I think it can be used as a handbook, quite frankly. You know, the vegan / vegetarian agenda is alive and well in this country. It's being touted as a way to sustainability, better health. I've had Dr. Lauren Cordain on the show numerous times. We've talked about pretty well-done studies that show that vegans don't fare any better than omnivores as far as health outcomes. But is there anything that we can look to empirically to say, look, the vegan diet is mismatched for humans, and here's why?
Well, This is one of those things where if you're talking to a group of evolutionary biologists, they laugh veganism out of the room. The topic comes up, and it's like these nutty ideologues who somehow think that humans operate in an optimal fashion on a herbivorous diet. It's ridiculous. But let's get to the actual science. There are nutrients like vitamin B12 that you can't get from plant foods. The plant foods lower bone density among people eating a vegan or vegetarian diet. Complications with childbirth in mothers eating that type of diet. Same with deficiencies in breast milk of mothers who are breastfeeding. So there are a lot of different studies on that. And you don't see any indigenous populations who are vegetarian. There is hard evidence, concrete evidence of humans eating animals for over 2.6 million years. Even chimpanzees eat some meat. Huh. So it just doesn't hold water.
Now, what about the lacto-ovo-pesci vegan? That's really not a vegan then, really, right? If they're eating protein, they're no longer vegans, but they want to consider themselves vegans, right?
Yeah, they want the credit. I think that's why they came up with the name vegan, because there were lots of sort of faux vegetarians who, are you vegetarian? Yeah, I'm a vegetarian, so what do you eat? Oh, fish. So the only thing they didn't eat was ground beef, and then they called themselves a vegetarian. It's sort of silly, but if people are eating fish and dairy, then I think first you're not a vegetarian, and I think sure you can eat a healthy diet without eating red meat. I think red meat, the fears of red meat are overblown, but yeah, if you don't want to eat red meat, then don't eat red meat.
Vitamin A and vitamin D. Well, vitamin D first, and now vitamin A, thanks to good information out there, really growing in popularity. And supplementation, and we're not even sure if some of these blood levels are good or bad, but it seems that I had a discussion with Ron Pena over at Quest Nutrition, and it was really a good point he made. He said, oral supplements of vitamin D probably are not the way to go, because there's no evidence of any foods ever delivering 10,000, 15,000 IUs of vitamin D through the gut, and that the vitamin D that is synthesized in the sun is really the only and right way to do it. You have any opinions on sun exposure and vitamin A and vitamin D?
Well, I agree that sun exposure, consistent, regular, moderate sun exposure is the best way to do it. You get a lot of vitamin D, and sun exposure has other health benefits besides just vitamin D. It helps your circadian rhythm. You'll sleep better. It feels good. It'll improve your skin. So I do think that's the best way to do it. When it's winter in New York City, I do take more vitamin D supplements. Do I know exactly how much of that vitamin D is getting absorbed in my stomach? No, I don't. So my goal really is to eat a healthy enough diet and have a healthy enough lifestyle that I don't need to supplement. But then there are some supplements that I occasionally take, because we can't always live up to that.
There's a lot of evidence that availability of foods are actually important, but we have kind of superseded that now with the agricultural techniques where we can get strawberries in the wintertime.
Right.
I love raw, unpasteurized dairy. And mm-hmm. So I'm not, I guess I'm more of a primal than a paleo guy because of that. But instinctively, I lose my desire for milk when it gets cold. And ironically, my Mennonite farmer that I get my milk from, I'm part of a cow share program, stops milking when the weather gets really cold, because he says the cows need the energy to survive. And if we're milking them all the time, they don't have that energy.
Right.
So what do you think about the phasic effects of food and the fact that we override that by having grapefruits in the wintertime?
Well, it's a cutting edge area. The cyclical nature of the seasons, or of a day, or of a week, how do all these different cycles interact with each other? I'm not totally sure when it comes to the seasons. Those are pretty long cycles. We know that in the Inuit or other northern populations, they tend to have meat-heavy diets, particularly in winter, because you can still hunt and they preserve well. And then summer and fall is definitely more plant-based and more fruit. I have seasonality when it comes to my fruit intake. I eat a lot more fruit in the summer and early fall. I don't really know, though, when it comes to full-on seasons.
Yeah, I mean, I'm that way too, because I do business with local family farms, and they don't have strawberries and oranges and apples in the middle of winter.
So I
think that's good. I actually think that it's
right.
I think that we evolved under that, and that we should adhere to some portion of that.
And then you enjoy it. Forget the health benefits. You enjoy it more when you haven't had it all year, and then suddenly you get to have it, and then it tastes better. I mean, the strawberries that get shipped up from Chile in the middle of winter, they don't taste like anything. There's no taste to them. So I like seasonality simply for adding variety and flavor.
Last question is about paleo in general. Paleo seems to have peaked. If you look at indicators like search engine information and so on, to a whatever the population is right now, the early adopters came on early, but in the past 3 years, there's been a surge to it. Do you think that it's possible that without government's help, which influences how people eat, that a large portion of this population can understand and adapt to this more healthy way of eating?
Well, when I think about my own diet, I simply shifted away from wheat, corn, and soy,
right,
and added a lot of vegetables. And then I made a lot of other changes too. But I think that's feasible for a large proportion of the population. When it comes to paleo peaking or not, maybe the word, not everybody, even if many of these ideas are one day accepted as part of conventional health advice, wouldn't that be something?
Yeah.
Even if one day that happens, not everybody is going to want to use the word paleo or primal to describe how they eat, and many people aren't going to want to use a word at all, and that's fine. That's okay. The point is more people healthy, not, you know, more people
part of
in
a
my
club
tribe.
Yeah, you're on
right,
my club, yeah, right.
And that's okay. So are people using the word paleo? Maybe yes, maybe no. But I see more and more pieces in the mainstream press on gluten or the downsides of grain heavy diets or the importance of gut health and the tie between gut health and mental health, the gut brain axis. So all the trends are going in the right direction, and I'm very optimistic about where this is headed.
New York has a pretty strong ancestral health movement, doesn't it?
It does. It does. Well, there are a lot of people here, so I was able to help get it off the ground more in the early days, and so it's continued to build.
In the book Paleo Fantasy, I think the young lady who's actually been on my show, and I can't think of her name right now, but I think she talked about
Marlene
you.
Marlene,
yeah, she talked about you in the very beginning of the book about the New Yorkers who are bloodletting and stuff like that. I mean, you know, she tried to. That's my problem with paleo. As soon as you put a name on it, people want to make fun of it. You know.
Well, here was my problem with that was she used anecdotes about me to open her first chapter and
right.
to close her first chapter. Everybody knows that you use your best material right up front, and she didn't even make fun of me by name. If you are going to tease me, please use my name and put my website there and mention my book so that more people will know about it.
I knew she was talking about when I read. That's why I know she didn't mention you by name. But you should be proud that you were like
in
the first paragraph. It was amazing.
I know. Yeah. I know. That was funny. I mean, the thing is, she was criticizing not how people actually live paleo. They was criticizing how the media portrays paleo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's tough. You always got to play a little bit of footsie with the media because they have angles they want to push, and you got to resist it. And at a certain point, they're going to have footage and edit it however they want.
And that sucks. I know. Doctor, the Wizard of Oz is famous for that. Listen, John, I want to thank you so much for taking time to come on the show and talk about this. But more importantly, the hard work that went into this book. It's clearly, in my humble opinion, a seminal work on paleo and ancestral health. Really fantastic, and I applaud you for that.
Thank you very much, Carl. I appreciate that quite a bit.
Take care.
All right, you too.
All right, go to Amazon.com and get the Paleo Manifesto today. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. Stay tuned when we come back. We'll be joined by Greg Everett to talk about American Weightlifting, the movie.
He's asking the right questions at the right time.
I don't care what side of this you're standing on, that GMO is good for us, GMO is bad for us. The truth of the matter is nobody knows the answer. Is it fair to subject this world to this experiment, which may have undeniable, unknown consequences that will be irreversible?
You're listening to Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
People who want the best whey protein in the world turn to WhayNaturalUSA.com. Whey Natural USA produces the only whey protein from grass pasture-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. Whey Natural USA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. Just pure grass pasture-fed whey in all its natural glory. Go to WhayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WhayNaturalUSA.com.
If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the Bio Age banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
Get a free jug of BCAA Extended Performance. That's a $26 freebie when you buy Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Intense, the safest, most effective pre-workout alternative to DMAA. Intense is designed to quickly boost focused energy in a great-tasting formula free of aspartame or ACE-K. Only half the caffeine of top-selling concentrated pre-workout formulas on the market. Intense delivers unparalleled mental focus and energy to power your workouts. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Intense banner ad and use coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R. Extreme Formulations is the only company with a dairy protein product with a disclosed 50% whey to 50% micellar casein ratio. It's Ultra Peptide 2.0. It comes in 9 amazing flavors, including the newest lemon pie and butterscotch. Get free shipping on any order size inside the USA. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ultra Peptide 2.0 banner ad now. Canadian listeners can also get free shipping on 2 or more jugs of Ultra Peptide 2.0. Don't wait too long because this special won't last. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad today.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Через несколько секунд выйдут на сцену шпулеметы. Новонервных, беременных и детей просим удалиться из зала. Остальным лечь на пол и задержать дыхание!
What she was saying was, my next guest is Greg Everett. Many of you know Greg as the one of the hosts of The Paleo Solution with Rob Wolf, a very, very popular podcast. But recently, you may not be aware of this, Greg produced a movie. How you doing, Greg?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Saying that this movie was a labor of love is not an understatement, is it?
No, not at all.
I mean, we talked about this off the air just a moment ago. There was a premiere event in your hometown. Tell people where you are.
Well, our gym business is in Sunnyvale. We did the event in Cupertino, where I live, shortly or just nearby, and it was a good time, had some fun, sold it out, and it was a nice way to kind of kick it off.
And so I said to Greg, any plans on, will we see this in, some of the small boutique movie theaters around the country? We have one here in Louisville, and he said no. And the reality is that what the underlying message in this movie is also the reason why you won't see movie theaters picking it up. And I'm sad about that. I feel like we need to go on a campaign to let local movie theaters know you need to bring this movie in because I want to see it. And there's a lot of people in this community that want to see it. I had the pleasure of meeting Charles Gaines a couple weeks ago. So I think of Pumping Iron and its success in this context. What I want to do real quick before we start the interview is I just want to play a 23-second clip intro from the trailer. Is that cool? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Down.
Because I think this kind of sets everything up. Oh, why isn't it playing? Oh, I know why. Hold on. I'm an idiot. That's why. There we go.
I don't know why we do it. It's brutal. It's exhausting. There's no money. There's no recognition. You just have to love it, even when it doesn't love you back.
I love that. Because when I heard that, I thought, oh my God, this is not just about competitive weightlifters, which really the documentary is about. This is about every one of us in the physical culture community. Because we go in and we beat ourselves up and we do things that no one else is willing to do. And we do it and get no recognition. In fact, we're probably shunned for it by many of our friends behind our backs. This call, like I recently just had a double avulsion of two hamstring muscles deadlifting. And I know there's a lot of people in my social circle saying, well, he was an idiot. See, I knew that heavy weightlifting was going to get to him. But I don't give a damn. I'm happy. I'm moving forward.
Right. Yeah, and we that's the feedback I've gotten from a lot of people in other sports, too, is that it was a very, universal message, although the context, of course, was competitive weightlifting. And, like you said, even outside of sports, it really applies to anybody who is, passionate about something and committed to something for the sake of the process or for the sake of that, personal gratification, not for the sake of financial reward or attention and fame.
But our American weightlifters really are stepchildren because the reality is that many other countries give great support to their weightlifters. But as you point out in the documentary, a lot of the competitive weightlifters are relegated to training in their garages, with no financial support, holding down full-time jobs, families, and everything else. While trying to compete at an elite level when other countries give them all the support they need. They live at places, their food is prepared for them, they lift all day long, they think about one thing and one thing only, lifting.
Right.
What happened? What is it about our country that we have such disdain for strength?
I don't know if it's a disdain for strength. I think that it's when you get people involved in the sport, I think that so much of the time they really love it. It's that they simply they don't get the exposure soon enough in their lives, and we're so overwhelmed by, professional sports or even collegiate scholarship sports that we just have so many channels for these top-tier athletes to go into where there is promise of fame and, free college educations and basically being financially set for the rest of their lives. Why would they ever consider a sport where we can basically guarantee you a lifetime of poverty and obscurity?
Is it also that weightlifting is seen as a component of a larger sport? So we know, football players, they squat, they deadlift, they bench press, but that isn't the sport. That is just some remedial factor of the sport.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know that I've come across that a whole lot, but I can certainly see, you know, people seeing it that way. Yeah.
How much do drugs have to do with the fact that the population in the United States doesn't really watch or pay attention or give credit to these amazing athletes who really are more amazing than the football player, in my humble opinion?
I think it's definitely a huge part of it. It's a huge part of why we are not as competitive as we could be. It's not the only thing, but it's a big part. And, you know, we see it over and over and over again. We have not just one or two people here and there testing positive, but, like, literally entire teams. I mean, 12, 15 people at a time. Just recently, I think it was something like 9 lifters from Kazakhstan just tested positive. Their federation has to pay the IWF $500,000 before they're allowed to compete internationally again. And so that just goes to show you the kind of money these organizations are working with. We couldn't handle a $500,000 fine. USA Weightlifting, that's an entire year's budget at least. And so, you know, it's not just a handful of people who are using drugs. It's pretty much everybody in the sport. You know, as much as people don't like to talk about or admit it, it's a huge problem. And, you know, whereas the lifters in the U.S., we have probably the most stringent drug testing program in the world. You know, if you're in the top 20, you're getting tested in every competition. You're getting tested out of competition randomly. I've talked to people who have been, you know, residents at our Olympic Training Center who got tested 4 times in a single month. So it's virtually impossible for an American weightlifter to get away with using drugs.
It's amazing. And what a testament to their true strength. I want to take a break. I want to pick up with drugs on the other side because I have another question.
Sure.
But it's an important discussion that we're having today because the reality is that American weightlifting is a sport that harkens back to the Greeks, the Parthenon. I mean, it's actually part of our DNA. But here in the United States, it's treated like the stepchild of sports. You can go to the website AmericanWeightliftingFilm.com. I would suggest that you do this. The entire superhuman nation should do this, and I really mean this sincerely. And please, Greg, if I'm saying anything out of line with the protection rights of the movie or whatever, buy the movie. Whether it's DVD or download, and then have an American weightlifting party at your house and invite people who know nothing about weightlifting to come and watch the movie.
Yeah,
obviously, invite all your weightlifting friends, all your physical culture friends, but have other people who normally would not be exposed to this stuff and have an American weightlifting party at your house. Really, because we're not going to see this movie in theaters, so we have to do this on a grassroots effort. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Highlighting the hypocrisy in government, one meal at a time.
The USDA and the FDA going after small family farms. They're telling these farmers that by selling direct to end users like you and I, because they're outside the jurisdiction of the USDA and the FDA, the USDA says it's dangerous to be buying from these farmers. Really? And we're all thriving buying from these farmers, but the USDA and the FDA said, no, you're wrong. You may not think that because you're not getting sick that something's wrong, but we know there's something wrong.
Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
People who want the best whey protein in the world turn to WhayNaturalUSA.com. Whey Natural USA produces the only whey protein from grass pasture-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. Whey Natural USA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. Just pure grass pasture-fed whey in all its natural glory. Go to WhayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WhayNaturalUSA.com.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, information, check out GetDS.com.
Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable. But finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the Superhuman Nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first 6-hour colostrum, painstakingly processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological activity in the world. For a limited time, when you buy Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum lozenges and a Fit and Fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today.
From the people who brought you Aura MD, now get a bottle of the Man Facial Moisturizer for Men from Trusted Health Products. No parabens, GMOs, synthetic chemicals, or additives. Just pure live botanical oils that will make your face look and feel younger. Your body looks 25, now make your face look the part. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the 100% pure skincare banner ad today. From the people who brought you Aura MD, now get a bottle of the Man Facial Moisturizer for Men from Trusted Health Products. No parabens, GMOs, synthetic chemicals, or additives. Just pure live botanical oils that will make your face look and feel younger. Your body looks 25, now make your face look the part. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the 100% pure skincare banner ad today.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Livon Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Greg Everett this hour about his movie, American Weightlifting, the movie. You can go to the website, American Weightlifting, the film. I'm sorry, AmericanWeightliftingFilm.com to get your copy, either DVD or download it. You know, and I don't want to talk much more about drugs, but just for a second longer. And it's something that I've always been confused about, right? So a baseball player can go have a tendon rerouted through his elbow. Tiger Woods can get radiokeratotomy and have 20/15 vision. Or a blog post that I wrote back in July after Phil Mickelson won his first big golf match while after diagnosis of psoriatic arthritis, is that Humira was a performance-enhancing drug in his case. He would not have been able to play the sport without it. And quite frankly, I feel that it's just hypocritical. What is it about drugs? Are we stuck in the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde phenomenon? What is it about drugs? You can do anything, everything, possible to improve your ability to play a given sports discipline. But once you take a pill or stick a needle in your ass, you've crossed the line.
Yeah, it is kind of a bizarre way of looking at things. And the interesting thing is that outside of the U.S., it's a completely different perspective. There just isn't that stigma attached to any kind of PEDs. You know, if you talk to pretty much any athlete or coach in the sport of weightlifting outside of the U.S., they pretty much laugh at us for not using the drugs. And they kind of say, well, why do you even bother? Why do you even bother if you're not doing everything you possibly can to perform as well as possible? And so where that comes from, I don't really know, but it really is this weird moral objection to it. And, you know, I'm not sure where it started or why it's so prevalent, but It's definitely something that we're not going to get over anytime soon.
Well, we're also the country that'll take our children, our young children, to movies where people get mutilated and blown up and killed. But God forbid there's a couple becoming intimate. No, go in the other room. Go in the other room. Like, sure. It's okay to kill people, but love, that's something you don't want to talk about.
Yeah, of course not.
Yeah, Puritans. But anyway, why'd you do this? This had to be a huge undertaking. Not just resources, time, and everything. What made you? What inspired you to do this movie?
You know, I can't say it was one thing in particular. I think it was, I really felt like there were people in the sport who I wanted to kind of recognize and celebrate, because, you know, a few of the people in there, the ones that come to mind, the veteran coaches, Jim Schmitz, Mike Bergner, John Thrush, Bob Takano, these guys who have been in the sport for, you know, 40 to 50 years, and have contributed so much and worked so hard, just thanklessly and tirelessly. And it was kind of an opportunity for me to record some of that history and really get it in front of people, because what we have now is, you know, with the internet, there's so much information freely accessible, but these guys are just really not present to a large degree because they're just not from the generation that is self-promoters and, you know, credential inflators, and they're more concerned about actually coaching weightlifters and contributing than they are about getting Facebook likes. And so I kind of wanted to make sure that those guys were really recognized for what they've done. But also, I really wanted to try to get more exposure for the sport and try to get it in front of more people outside the weightlifting community. And, you know, a movie is obviously probably the most palatable universally format for that. You know, I have a couple books out on weightlifting, but no one's going to go to the library and search out a 450-page textbook on weightlifting as an introduction to it. So, you know, I figured a movie would probably be the best way to potentially reach those people and kind of get them interested.
Aside from some of the coaches that you just named, that names that I've never heard, so clearly you're right. They are unsung heroes.
Yeah.
Who are some of the athletes that you focused on that you thought had remarkable stories, and maybe could touch on some of their stories?
Well, you know, I definitely put more time into coach interviews, and I did it because they tend to have obviously more experience, more background. They tend to be very articulate. They can get across kind of what I wanted to say a little better. But the athletes that I featured were primarily Casey Bergner, who for many years was our number one weightlifter, number one male weightlifter. He had multiple, you know, like junior American records. He multiple time world team member, Pan Am team member, you know, national champion, God knows how many times, and should have gone to the Olympics in 2008, but for some political reasons that are too detailed to go into, had to sit home while a couple other people went on points that he earned. And then who later became his wife, Natalie Wolfhook, who a 2008 Olympian, American record holder, you know, just phenomenal lifter. Those were the two most accomplished lifters that were in the movie. And then the other one, of course, that I had to include was my wife, who was a 2007 national champion and a phenomenal lifter for about 15 years. And I think she's the one who really brought a lot of the, really made it personal to a lot of people, because she's very, for her, weightlifting is a very emotional thing. You know, it's really been a family for her and such a huge part of her life. I think she really, that came across very well to a lot of people.
Who, you know, this message also, really reached the masses for the first time ever. And again, I'm sorry, because I don't follow like which Olympics occurred. I mean, I'm really not even a spectator when the Olympics are on. But this last Olympic event that we had, where we had weightlifting, we were introduced to a young lady who was living in her car while she was training to be an Olympian and competed. And I know she missed her first couple lifts. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, Sarah Robles.
Like, that should have been a wake-up call for institutions, universities, whatever, to go, wow, we have athletes that are so driven and dedicated that even life events that most people would be derailed by not only didn't derail her, but motivated her even more to train harder. She was living in her car, for criminy's sake.
Yeah.
And she was on the Olympic stage at the same, it's like, then you have these other countries like Russia and that these, and China, you know, where athletes are treated like royalty and their families are taken care of. They're given educations. They're given food. They're given everything. When they go out in the street, everybody knows who they are. And then we have our Olympic athletes in weightlifting. I couldn't name them personally.
Yeah, very few people can. And it's interesting, you know, but you take country like Russia or like China, and they don't have the NFL. They don't have professional basketball and baseball and these things. So in a lot of senses, weightlifting is kind of an equivalent. You know, they just don't have as many avenues for professional athletes as we do. And so they put their money into that, and they really support it culturally. It's like, you know, you look at the NFL in the U.S., and people are absolutely fanatical about it. I mean, to the point of you know, fantasy football is got to be like the most popular thing in the world, in the country right now, which personally is not very interesting to me, but people just love it. And so, you know, imagine that kind of fervor for weightlifting, and that's what we're going up against. Right, you know, we have about 5,000 competitive weightlifters in this country. China has 1 million.
Oh,
and
really?
So you know, you think about it's you know, finding top tier talent is all about probability. If you're starting with 5,000 people, what are the chances of finding a world champion versus starting with 1 million people? Pretty good odds you're going to find some really great weightlifters in that pool.
Wow, I didn't realize that was the disparity in numbers. I mean, that speaks to how great our American weightlifters really are. Because
yeah,
it's like we have such a finite number of weightlifters, and look at what they're doing. I mean, the fact that they are competing on those stages with such a small pool of talent being pulled from, number one, and the rigors of drug testing where they show up at their house unannounced. They could be in the middle of giving their baby a bath, and it's like blood test, urine. Okay, we got to go now. It's like,
yeah.
So, I mean, you talk about the pressure. It's just amazing to me.
Yeah, and that's a big reason I wanted to make the movie, too, is that you look at that, and these lifters deserve a huge amount of credit. And, of course, they're not doing it for that reason. They do it because they love doing it. But it doesn't hurt to recognize them and celebrate them a little bit here and there.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about some of the things that we can do to help celebrate and help the cause as well. We're talking with Greg Everett. We're talking about American Weightlifting, the movie. You can go to the website, AmericanWeightliftingFilm.com. You can download a copy or you can order a DVD. And I suggest you do so. And have an American weightlifting party at your home. Put it on the TV. Let it play over and over again while everybody sits around and chats and eats paleo and doesn't drink alcohol. Ha ha ha. And let people see what this is all about. And maybe if we do this often enough with enough people, we'll start to get support for this community of heroes. They are nothing short of heroes when you listen to what they're up against just to participate in their sport. And I know that this community knows what that feels like because we do it day in and day out with no aspirations of competing, but just because we love it. Well, guess what? They love it too. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Carl Lenore.
I want to live longer. I want to be stronger. I want to be healthier. And I want everybody to come along.
Calling out the daytime television quacks.
I want to see Dr. Oz do those things in the gym. He's out there telling people how to be stronger, be healthier, look better, live longer. Let's see him put himself to the test. Let's see any of these people do the things that we do in this audience here.
Motivating the people.
We are the true superhumans.
You're listening to Superhuman Radio.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsule
capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
A special offer from Rob Regish for Blueprint Power Hour listeners. Purchase 1 year of the Blueprint Bulletin and get the Blueprint 3.0 ebook for free. The first 100 subscribers will receive the Superhuman University Add 1 Inch to Your Upper Arms course and another surprise bonus when you order. Go to the BlueprintBulletin.com today or click the Blueprint banner ad on SuperhumanRadio.com and get on the road to Gainesville in the fast lane.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the Bio Age banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high protein, low carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. I want you to know what I did during the break. I just ordered the movie. I guess the downloadable version. It looks like a link is being emailed to me now. It's only $14.99. I mean, really. It's only $14.99. Anything being done to raise money for these athletes at this point in time, Greg?
Not a whole lot. And then it's one of those things where it's difficult to get sponsorships for athletes in such an obscure sport because, of course, companies sponsoring athletes want something in return. They want visibility. And when you go to a national championships for USA weightlifting and the only people in the stands are other lifters or the families of lifters, that's not a very good advertising opportunity. And so I think, you know, the internet has been a really effective tool for the sport because these lifters and these coaches can post videos and they can, you know, post blogs and all these things to allow people to kind of follow these lifters and follow their progress and get interested. And, you know, kind of come to know these people. And so there have been a handful of lifters who've been able to get pretty significant donations, or enough people donating small sums of money that they've been able to really supplement whatever income they have. And so that's kind of, I think, where the future of supporting lifters is going, is, you know, watching their videos on the internet and doing all these things to support them that way. So it's a more of an indirect sort of thing rather than having Nike come on, for example, and
like they did, didn't they do that? They did that with Sarah Robles, right? Nike came forth when they heard her story. I think they saw it as an opportunity to get their name attached to hers, goodwill wise. But then I never heard anything else about it. You haven't seen anything with Sarah Robles and Nike.
No.
So they may have said that, and they may, oh, well, you know what? You know, we really, after rethinking it, it's like these, I got a feeling that these athletes are exploited a million ways to Sunday.
Oh, sure. Yeah, and so really what we need is, you know, we need to have the actual spectators, the people who care about weightlifting, finding ways to support athletes. And that's everything from, like I said, watching their videos, reading their stuff, sending little, you know, $5 donations. Those things add up. You know, if that athlete is, say, like selling lifting straps or something, buying straps from them, doing all these little things, you know, anything you can, I think, really goes a long way, because you get enough people doing that, and all those little tiny bits of income add up, and anything helps.
Any of the proceeds from the movie going to any athletes or coaches or anything like that?
Well, our athletes, yeah. So we have a team of, I've got, you know, 12 national level weightlifters, and, you know, we do what we can to support them. We give them, you know, cash bonuses for performance and things like that. We, you know, we're really working to get into a position where we can afford to cover all their travel expenses for competitions. You know, we try to get them as many supplement sponsorships as we can, things like that. But, you know, we're not financially in a position yet where we can fully support a team, but that's what we're working for.
Well, and the more people who buy the movie, that may help that cause right there. So there you go.
Absolutely.
There's another reason why to download $14.99, download the movie. I'm downloading it as we speak. It's 1.1 gigabytes in the, high def version. And I'm definitely, you know, we're throwing a party at a friend's house. And then it dawned on me. So I'm telling everybody in the audience, hey, you need to do this. I'm thinking, well, I guess I need to do this too. We've got a friend, Lisa and I have a friend who has a palace of a home, and we are hosting a party at his home for the Christmas holiday. And in his basement, he has a theater that is like, you feel like you're walking into like Tinseltown or something. I mean, it's really, and so I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to download this. I would imagine I can burn it to a DVD. If not, I'll just put it on a thumb drive and bring it there. He's got everything. And I'm just going to let this movie play in the background instead of some stupid movie like we usually do when we're there hanging out and enjoying ourselves. And I'm just going to let this play in the background, and hopefully it'll spark some conversations. Maybe it'll start out with, why are we watching this? And then I'll say, well, let me tell you why we're watching this. You know, it's like, but I think that, you know, forcing the conversation, however it evolves, is the important thing to do right now. Because, you know, if American weightlifting was popularized to the degree that, I mean, football is popular here. You know what? Soccer is getting popular here. It's not even a sport that originated here. It's a, you know, European sport. And here we are, you got your kids playing, you know, soccer for Javanon, and soccer, you know, people are watching soccer on TV, and now everybody's getting with soccer. Well, if we could popularize weightlifting, then those of us who go to the gym every day and train like we are getting ready to compete, you know, at 55, we're tearing hamstrings, we're doing things that other people are going, you know, why are you doing that? Maybe they wouldn't say that to us. Maybe they look at us and go, wow. You know, you really are a dedicated athlete, and maybe they'd actually have greater value for us and what we do day in and day out if they understood what the sport was about.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing odd about a 55-year-old guy playing city rec basketball.
Exactly.
Three times a week.
Right.
Or playing softball.
And that guy ends up going for a knee replacement, and people are like, wow, you know, he's so hardcore. He plays basketball so much, he wore his knees out. But me, it's like, well, why did you do that? Why are you lifting so heavy? Why do you have to lift so heavy?
Right.
Why? Because it's like saying to a jaguar, why do you have to chase down that antelope? Don't chase down the antelope. Leave it alone. It's like, it's in my DNA to do this.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, something you'll see in the movie is that, there's a pair of brothers here in California who both run programs in high schools. They're both high school PE teachers, and they run like 200 to 300 kids a year through an actual weightlifting program. And the kids love it. There's a waiting list to get into their classes. And so there's nothing inherently unappealing about the sport. You just have to get it in front of more people and give them the opportunity to try it. You give them that opportunity to participate, and a lot of people are going to really love it. And it's, you know, it's the same with any sport. People love certain sports. That's what they kind of naturally gravitate towards to. But, you know, if they don't have the opportunity in the first place, you're never going to know.
Well, here's another thing. Buy it for your kids. And I just thought of this. So yesterday we did a show. I do a periodic show with Coach Wade Johnson. He's a 48-year-old drug-free natural power lifter who, I forget what his total was, you know, 1,040-pound squat and, you know, and just a really strong dude. And we've always talked about his son, Wes, who was a phenom.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, let's have Wes on the show. Well, what I came away from the show, aside from the fact that Wes squatted over 800 pounds at 17 years old, had a 585-pound bench press in that meet and like a 585-pound deadlift as well at 17 years old. What I came away really getting from the show was there is a bond between Wade Johnson and Wes Johnson that every father dreams of having with his son. And I put them to the spot. I said, look, Wes, do you think that you would be as close to your father if you guys didn't have physical culture, powerlifting in common? He said no.
I said to Wade,
Wade told a story that when Wes was 12 years old, he said he wanted to start powerlifting. And Wade said, look, don't do because I do it. Do because you want to do it. He said, no, I want to do it, Dad. And that when Wade, in one of his first competitions, squatted like, some small, like 600 and something pounds, that Wes came up to him and he said he thought something was wrong because his face was all twisted. And then he started crying. He put his arms around his dad and he said, Dad, I'm so proud of you. There's an opportunity. You know, in this country, we lose track of our children and then systems start raising our children for us, right? This nonsense it takes a village is exactly nonsense. You can raise your own kids. You don't need a book to do it either. But here's an opportunity for you to bond with your child, girl or boy. To bond with your child, to bring, indoctrinate them into something that you love and teach them to love it too. And buy the movie and let them watch the movie. Start with that.
And that, you know, weightlifting is such a great opportunity for women specifically because you, even with the Title IX stuff, women just don't have as many opportunities. You know, they don't have football. They don't have baseball. You know, softball, this is not the same thing. And you know, you look at, say, gymnastics is probably the best sport for women, but they're done by the time they're 18. And, you know, they become perfect weightlifting candidates. You know, some of our very best weightlifters have been former gymnasts. And so it's such a great sport for them. And it's just such a perfect opportunity for, you know, the competitive women who have kind of run out of a sport to play. To continue, you know, feeding that hunger for competition.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I would imagine that because it's so thin in women, that a woman with even moderately good talent can compete at a high level.
It's getting pretty tough now.
Oh, is it?
At this last World Championships, the super heavyweight woman won with 190 kilo clean and jerk. So
wow.
I think she weighed probably 80 something kilos, clean and jerked 190.
Oh my God. Talk about technique.
So the level of competition since, you know, women weren't introduced in weightlifting to the Olympics until 2000. So it's very recent. And, they have just absolutely skyrocketed in that period of time.
I want to take our last commercial break. And when we come back, I want to ask you, what the heck? Oh, I think something is playing on one of the pages that I'm downloading or something. I want to ask you about what impact CrossFit has had on this whole scenario. We're talking with Greg Everett. We're talking about his movie, American Weightlifting. If you go to AmericanWeightliftingFilm.com, you can do like I'm doing. Spend $14 and download a copy of it and show it to your friends at your house or watch it to be inspired yourself. You know, when I first started this journey, I used to watch Pumping Iron. And I used to watch the incredible Ronnie Coleman video before training legs. And I used to get inspired and pumped. And you can use that video, the video for that as well. So go to AmericanWeightliftingFilm.com and download your copy today. We'll be right back.
Carl Lenore.
The FDA has exceeded all of its previous levels of being sinister and corrupt by trying to poison this country by forcing us to eat genetically modified foods without knowing their GMO foods, while trying to obstruct our access to natural foods that are grown right in our hometown.
Empowering the people and telling it like it is.
They're corrupt, they're sinister, they're disgusting.
And we're never going to have a politician with any real chutzpah to stop the FDA. That's the sad part. So we have to stop them ourselves. By the pressure has to push back. Keep supporting your family farm.
Only on Superhuman Radio.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest protein bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
The best fat loss patch just got better. Now, the AgeForce Fat Burner Patch includes Garcinia Cambogia. Lose body fat even faster. Try it free for 30 days. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AgeForce Fat Burner banner ad today. What else do you have to lose except unwanted body fat? Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. AgeForce introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order. If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today. Extreme Formulations is the only company with a dairy protein product with a disclosed 50% whey to 50% micellar casein ratio. It's Ultra Peptide 2.0. It comes in 9 amazing flavors, including the newest lemon pie and butterscotch. Get free shipping on any order size inside the USA. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ultra Peptide 2.0 banner ad now. Canadian listeners can also get free shipping on 2 or more jugs of Ultra Peptide 2.0. Don't wait too long because this special won't last. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad today.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Either with those who love freedom, or you're with those who hate innocent life.
All inferior creatures are to be considered the enemy of the Daleks and destroyed.
Well, either you're with us, or you're the enemy.
We obey no one. We are the superior beings.
Welcome back. We're talking to Greg Everett about his movie. And when I say his movie, I really mean it. I mean, talking about I love it. On IMDb, it says Ultra Independent Movie. And directed by Greg Everett. Writing credits, Greg Everett. Cast, Greg Everett, amongst other people. Produced by Greg Everett. Music by Greg Everett. Cinematography, film editing, production design, and sound department, all done by Greg Everett. If nothing else, get the movie to prove the strength within the physical culture community to support its own. I mean, you really... how long did it take you to do this?
That's about 4 years.
Really?
Well, and, you know, it wouldn't have taken nearly as long, but...
if Rob Wolf would have helped.
yeah, exactly. Well, you know, I have, you know, a business to run, and I have athletes to coach, and, you know, I have a wife and a daughter and a dog and a house and all these things. You know, I couldn't work on it full time. I had to find spare time, which I really didn't have spare time. to get it done. So,
and that's analogous to the lives of the athletes that you portray in this, who have the same complaints. It's like, I finally broke that plateau. It took me 4 years, but I could have done it sooner if I didn't have all these other things that I had to juggle that most professional athletes don't.
Absolutely. And that's part of the message of the movie too, is besides the actual content, is the entire story of the process too, is that it was entirely a one-person production, start to finish. We had no outside funding. I used whatever money I could scrape together. And, you know, it's sparse. It's spare. It doesn't have a lot of, you know, flash and,
right, elements,
and all this fancy,
right,
stuff.
Right.
You know, it's we need to figure out, you know, ways to get the job done with what we have to work with. And there's really no excuse. We just have to make it work.
Well, and I think this also harkens, it speaks to a time that harkens back to when American ingenuity, hard work, and patriotism were the driving forces behind this country. And I don't mean to get all, you know, I'm not getting political, but I'm saying that the fact that you did this movie about individuals who are trying to reach a level of proficiency in their sport with all the possible obstacles in their way. And, you know, we look at one individual who overcomes something and we go, oh my God, you know, look at that. He overcame something, you know, like, oh, let's do a movie about him. Meanwhile, we have these silent, unsung heroes who are doing this every single day. And the driving force is the love of something. And that, the reason I said patriotism is because when we love something, we are willing to give our lives for it. And these
Absolutely.
Individuals are literally giving their lives for this sport. And agree with it or not, it is exactly what has made this country what it is today. That driving force, that dig down, suck it up, and get the job done and stop complaining attitude, which is really hard to find in the landscape today, I got to be honest with you.
It is. There's a really disappointing lack of work ethic and discipline out there these days. People want instant gratification. They don't want to work for it. And, Bob Takano actually kind of made that point in the movie, is that, the physical culture in this country has changed over the last several decades. We introduced machines into training, and everyone's looking for diet pills and all these different things rather than what can I do to work to make myself better, to make myself stronger. It's how can I get around the work and still get these benefits? And it's a completely different attitude, and it's disappointing to say the least.
Yeah, it is. And you know, I'm listening to you, and I'm thinking about myself. You know, I'm thinking about my own life and my own habits. And, you know, I have to say that I'm somewhat guilty of that as well. And you're right. And there's no replacement for hard work and stick-to-itiveness. You know, there's no replacement for it. And this and the production of this movie is proof of that. The fact that it took 4 years to produce. I mean, a lot of people probably 2.5 years into it would have just purposefully forgotten about it. Oh, you know, I got way too much going on.
It crossed my mind a couple times.
But these athletes, and I hate to come back to Sarah Robles again, but I mean, I just think she's the poster child for this story. The fact that she was living in her car while she was training for the Olympics. You show me, they make movies about these things, right?
Right.
Will Smith lived in his car while he was trying to become a success in that movie with his son, right? And we look at that, we go, oh my God, look at that. He became a successful stockbroker while living in his car. Well, guess what? There's a friggin' army of people out there like that who are not giving in and not going quietly.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, those are exactly the kind of people that we really need to pay attention to and you know, reward in some way or another, because they're models for all of us. And I think that, again, we have collectively, there are so many people who just are, you know, to be blunt about it, just lazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have nothing they're passionate about, and they're not willing to kind of sacrifice and compromise for the sake of a goal. And, you know, it's sad. I think they're really missing something in their lives. And, you know, I think if you give them the right opportunity and a little inspiration, I think a lot of those people would would be able to be successful.
I can now proudly say that I am in possession of American Weightlifting, the documentary, in 1,080 pixels, I guess it is, MP4 file, sitting on my computer waiting to go home, and I'm going to watch it tonight, and you should do the same thing, those of you who are listening, because it supports the cause, but it'll be good for you, too, to watch the movie. It will help you as well. Listen, I want to change the subject just for a second. What's new at the Paleo Solution? How's the podcast going? I know you guys rock the podcast big time.
It's actually been really tough lately because we're both so busy. It's so hard to schedule. So we've missed a couple lately, but overall it's going well. We like doing it. It's a guaranteed way that Rob and I get to talk to each other now that we live two states away.
Right, right. Yeah, that's a good point, right? It forces you to get on the phone and do a show. Well, listen, yeah. I want to thank you so much both for taking the time to do the show, but more importantly, for working so hard to do this movie. And if nothing else, giving these individuals, these coaches and these athletes, some amount of exposure and credit that they so desperately deserve. So thank you very,
pleasure.
Very much.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, and I can't wait to watch the movie. I will post a comment after I watch it.
Awesome. Thank you.
Take care, Greg.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. So go to AmericanWeightliftingFilm.com and get your copy of it. Don't forget also to check out the Paleo Manifesto. Look, we have a good book and a good movie now as a result of this show. At Amazon.com by John Durant. Fantastic book. Fantastic movie. And the end of a fantastic show. Thank you so much for listening to Superhuman Radio today. We'll see you tomorrow.
Keeping tabs on government health agencies.
It's called the Environmental Protection Agency.
Carl Lenore.
Where is the protection? Where is the protection?
Superhuman Radio.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel. This is the Superhuman Channel. Doing